only thing I ever said about intelligence yeah. is the one thing that matters to most men, that I was in a firefight.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a number of them, but it's even back, you know, Samuel Johnson, he wrote the original English dictionary.
No.
He was on a dictionary, Johnson, and Boswell wrote his biography, and he was a big deal.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And he said that, and he had, you know, he was almost blind, mm-hmm. you know, from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that every man feels a loss that he has not been in war. I mean, he was already saying that in the 18th century with mm-hmm. World War II generation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the maleness mm-hmm. of it, and about Bob never mm-hmm. had any contact with this, that, and the other, and all that stuff. That's what he's worried about,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot more dangerous things than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
The casualty rate in NA,
mm-hmm.
if it was a unit's cavalry, you know, the president would be talking about it if they had that casualty rate.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway.
Yeah.
Crazy. So I've just decided more or less forget it. The intelligence. The other thing is I saw some stuff, a book that's been written on this woman in the CIA. You know, I've always said that they were just pitiful, you know, and that's there's a expose out, but I would always say they're just pitiful. The only thing worse was the KGB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the KGB was, I mean...
Then the CIA.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And what I found from... what I, huh?
Why do you mean pitiful? What do you mean by pitiful? Like just...
Well, this one woman, she was... they just went through it. She did everything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I've said that because I have said, you know, it's the sort of thing you'll look at me and oh, and then go on to something else. But it's a very, you can think about this. First of all, bureaucracy is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
The one we can see.
Mm-hmm.
You take a bureaucracy that is a disaster and an inbred thing and put it behind top secret. And it ends up, it's
yeah.
just unbelievable. I mean, you could be a, you know, professional drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never find out because, you know, once it's in place, they start protecting each other. It's just kind of mafia, inefficient mafia,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But I told you that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're just coming out with some of that now, you know, about
mm-hmm.
how bad they are. But I kept trying to explain to people.
Yeah.
Most people don't have the experience mm-hmm. with the bureaucracy itself. And you stick mm-hmm. a top secret mm-hmm. behind that, in front of that,
mm-hmm.
and whatever in group mm-hmm. runs it will run it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Anything they want to hide.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, the higher you get, the less time those people have.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who do have access, they're easy to hide it from,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens, like the universities, and those are public, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just get to the point where nobody has any interest in doing anything. Yeah. You know, it's just a disaster. They,
mm-hmm.
they bring in these, the kind of people I have here.
Mm-hmm. Not cases, loose cannons.
You see what I mean? I mean
yeah,
for,
I understand.
For somebody
yeah.
who's used to bureaucracy,
mm-hmm.
Who head of the oversight, it's just, you know, it's exactly what you would expect.
Mm.
It's just pathetic.
A nightmare.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Does that kind of tie into then what you were saying about our people's fear of, you know, being attacked or the government coming down or spying or...
Well,
you know,
fortunately,
like,
that works on our side. These people
yeah.
don't care less about us.
Mm.
Then the 1968 election, Wallace and Nixon, and if they had been, you know, if they'd had the right appeal, Humphrey went down, the Democrat went down to 29%.
Yeah.
And Nixon immediately became a moderate again,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I kept trying to, I mean, I'm used to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, fighting uphill all the way. I don't know what I'd do if anybody was on my side. It'd bother me, you know.
Mm. Well, you got it now, and boy, are the numbers growing.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. The people online on Twitter that are hearing the message, are having the conversation, are it is phenomenal. Actually, I'm
excited.
Well,
you need to write that down. And put it in books.
Yeah.
I mean, people put it in comments, but nobody offers an article about it. You know.
Yes.
I mean, by now, I should be able to sit back and write an article maybe once a week. You know?
Yeah.
But, no, you don't have to do that, but nobody else.
I just
all
can't.
Other people have never been able to do the writing either.
Yeah.
But I did tell you that I want you people, anything you put together, I want that the article section covered. That's the only thing no one does is write. You know, and I will continue writing, but this, I want this to be an institution. Yeah, so it will stay going, keep going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry if I get, you know, if I get busted or whatever happens. But I'm trying to found an institution that will do without me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which sounds crazy among the egos we deal with. But I mean, I'll take the heat, but I need, and that's something else. We will eventually. I think once I handle the phone for a while, other people will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder if
Go ahead.
I wonder if we could record what is said. We'll worry about that later. You'd have to have a little beep on it.
On the record what the phone calls are?
Well, I wish I had my review with the SPLC guy. You know.
Yeah.
Make sure I got a chance. I mean, it was wonderful. I got a chance to make my best points. And,
yep.
You know, back him down, but no audience.
No audience, exactly.
But a phone like this, I think, could be tapped with no problem. I don't know if you need a warrant for it or not.
It's just an app. Yeah, an application that you can put on the phone.
Say it's recorded because we want to replay it.
Yes.
We may want to replay it.
Yeah. I wonder what you'd have to find about the laws with that, though. You'd have to advise them when they answer that this call is being recorded.
What you used to put on it, we're talking a million years ago. You know, I mentioned Shockley, the man who personally invented the transistor.
Yes.
And he had... I was going around with him, and he recorded every conversation on the phone, not for spy purposes, but because he loved machinery.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this huge thing hooked up to every phone he had. He would take it in a briefcase and open it and click it onto the phone, and it would go beep. And people would say, "What is that beep?" And he said, it's recorded. You know, you have to put a beep on it if it's recorded.
Yeah.
And they said, "This is recorded." Everybody felt like, you know, resented that. But
yeah, well, that's why I think today it's against the law. You have to advise the other person that they are being recorded.
Well, I'll find it out. Well, you can ask your lawyer.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, just charge it to me. Ask your lawyer about it.
Yeah.
We're not making a secret. See, that's the point. We're not. Yeah. Making a secret recording, we're making,
absolutely,
for the very good reason that if something good is said, we want to have the words.
Yes, yeah.
You know, this is not intelligence, mm-hmm. FBI, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you have to have the warrant mm-hmm. when you're secretly mm-hmm. doing it.
Absolutely, secretly doing it that way.
Big difference, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think. We may have to put a recorded thing on there that says this phone call is recorded. You always get that.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. When you call the banks or something. Yeah.
But they don't have a beep.
No, they say it.
Now they used to just have a beep.
Yep.
Beep. And you every 10 seconds.
Every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'd have a beep sound that didn't really interrupt anything.
Yeah.
That's what Shockley had on his phone. Beep. You know, every 10 seconds, and then they'd ask him what it was after a little while, and then they would be shocked.
Yes.
Every time. But now that's a piece of history for you. You know, who else would know that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I think, well, I guess you could check with your lawyer. Mm-hmm. Now the beep is a substitute. Mm-hmm. Was, remember, we're talking for way before anything now happened.
Mm-hmm.
all you had to do was put the beep on your phone to let them know.
Yeah.
And it is different from a secrecy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, maybe they require you to announce it because you wouldn't like, I don't think these companies would have you call buying something.
Mm-hmm.
They'd like to have beep on the phone over and over.
And people wouldn't know what it meant, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't understand what that beep is or something. Yeah,
they think it was on the phone.
Yeah.
But if you want to check out a lawyer, get one.
Definitely. You know, just you said then a piece of history, you know, that was a piece of history that you were involved in then. The same sort of thing, your impact on that in vitro fertilization. We saw something on the TV the other night that this 29 or 30 year old white woman ended up having quadruplets through in vitro and four white babies, and we went, we know the guy who did that, you know, who made that possible. That was amazing.
But
they don't know that.
Well, that's such bragging for me. Mm. But remember, I can. Held Congress up for a whole weekend to 438 members, including non-voting delegates. We stopped them for the weekend against the subcommittee chairman and Republican member. And so I was, you know, but when I say that, now you've got it, but it's hard for anybody to believe the one person will yield that kind of power.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't the power that helped me particularly.
Mm.
I mean, with all this jealousy, you know, all this thing of, you know, if I came up with something, denying that I was in on it gives you some idea how much power I wielded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't said that before, but that's a good, that is a good point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the reasons, because it was known among themselves, you know, that I would come up with stuff like I do here.
Yeah.
You know? And, and they didn't want it to be another of Whitaker's things.
Yeah.
So if... but anyway...
Well, talking of coming up with stuff, one that you recently came up was that diverse means formally white.
Yeah.
And that one has been effective on Twitter.
Has it?
Unbelievably effective on Twitter.
Yeah.
And because it's exactly the meaning of it. When anybody says that it's diverse
formally
or diversified,
white.
It is...
Yeah, and
it
if
is,
you, do, you can just
yeah.
put it...
Yeah.
Diverse, i.e. formerly white, you know.
It is.
And people don't seldom think, but it finally occurs to them when they're having a privy council or something, that they, that you know what that means.
Yeah.
It takes a while for it to go down into their thinking. Yeah.
It is. And that's exactly why we repeat. You know, we just keep repeating until it does.
We need this demonstration. Mm. You could write down, you know, let the buggers know, or at least remind them of the effect we're having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, that would be a grand article. And get
if this,
a lot of it is stuff I can't remember. I don't know, that I said, like the power thing, you know.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah.
This,
yeah.
I mean, we can cut it into just
they
a random...
They didn't stand a chance when I backed out on that.
Yeah.
The pro-life, I had to work with them because they were a big part of Ashbrook's side.
Yeah.
But in that case, you know, and they kind of gave up.
Because
they expected me to come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Why wouldn't they have seen in IVF as pro-life?
That's actually only part of the pro-life. There was one woman who, but anyway, it like all movements like that, some of them were real nut fruitcakes, the ones who would not allow the exceptions of rape and incest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know about
that? Yeah, so to abort them. Yep.
And these groups, Nellie somebody, but anyway, they... There was a part of the pro-life movement, including the bishops, of course, who said there's no abortion. You know, it can be a rape, it can be a father. You know, the church, and they took the church's position on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but John always would have to say, well, in order to get this legislation through, although I'm sure personally, well, he's dead now. I mean, he was sort of relieved, I think. And because he raped by some black guy, you know.
Forced to keep it, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think, yeah, at the time, I was just scared to death. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting there, I'm not going to do it. You don't tell your boss you won't work on a bill.
Yep.
First of all, he doesn't need most people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I said, I'm just tell him I can't work. You know, this one's over the line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, boy, that was scary.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Well, actually, we had talked about this before, and about you really had to weigh up that decision. You know,
never made that decision before. You don't tell your congressman that you refuse to work on an issue.
But you did that because of your race. You did that morally because you believed that was right.
Oh,
but yet,
God, I wasn't going to help. But, I mean, it would be my fault. See, I'm the one person who would know.
But if you lost your job, you wouldn't have been able to help your race either. You know, so if your congressman had fired you, would have been out.
Well, just scared for me. Frankly.
But, you know, so what a way up that was, you know, to decide what was going to be more effective in fighting for your race.
It'd make a good excuse, unfortunately. I catch me when I'm making excuses.
Oh, okay,
The most unforgiving bastard in the world when it comes to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough to lie to me, much for, you know, addicts to lie, trying to lie to me and get around me and all that stuff. But I can't lie to myself.
Yeah.
I mean, but let me be clear about that. What scared me was the job, that I'd lose my job, my job, because I wasn't exactly a popular character.
Bob, not popular, really?
Yeah, right.
Bob. You got the gold, though.
Well, see, you have to know a good deal about me for this.
Yeah.
And that is something I told you. You are getting a vision of history as it actually happens.
Yeah.
And as John Ashbrook told me when he hired me, he said, I have no time to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I need you just to do my thinking for me. You know, that I don't have time for. Because I asked him one time, I said, John, because we'd gone through the airport, we went to Columbus Airport, which is not in his district, but it was like old home week. Mm-hmm. Everybody, he personally knew everybody we saw. And I said, John, how many people do you know their names, their faces, and their occupations? He said, you know, Bob, I've thought about that. He said, I'd say 15,000, 20,000.
Yeah.
20,000 people that feel like, you know. That,
yeah.
And when he would call the when somebody called the office for John Ashbrook, standing orders were that you didn't ask who it was.
Really?
For any of the rest of us. You know, somebody called me, they would ask who was calling.
Yeah.
You know. But I finally decided, hell, I'm going to be like the boss man, you know.
Yeah.
But but his orders were to put it on hold and inform him, you know, the secretary there, that there was a call for John.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. He said, that's what I'm in the office for.
Yeah.
You know.
Usually
you call a congressman, first thing I ask you.
Yeah, hell, who's calling,
first time you call a GS-11,
they're gonna
say, who is calling, please?
Yeah.
You know, but we were forbidden to say that.
Yeah, crazy.
In fact, this is a fact, a historical fact, which was one of those standing jokes in the office. back around 1974... he got a call. The person called in, and they held for something like, I think, 12 minutes. And it was the longest time President Ford
had been put on hold.
It was about 12 o'clock minute.
Yeah. Well, there's where that backfired.
But they had worked together, so they knew each other. You know, Ford thought that was hilarious, too. You put on, you know, if it was a used car dealer from Mansfield, Ohio.
Not the president.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He knew to hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't make another call, which he could, as president. You know, normally he would just, you know, but he knew why John did that.
Yeah.
Probably talking to some used car salesman in Mansfield, yeah.
One of his constituents, yeah. Right.
Okay. What very article good. Is that?
Well, this is the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, I'm losing track of my articles.
I know. Well,
which is good because I can turn them over to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What did our hero here have down in the bottom? What are the pictures of these?
Oh, this is what BBG has put up.
I know that.
Oh, sorry.
Listen, ADD is. I didn't say it was crap. This is one of my standard things that I'm going to have to say it another 1,000 times before anybody hears
yeah.
it. I'm going to keep saying it, and that is, the Christians managed to get rid of the anti-evolution. I mean, it's not automatic anymore that you have to be anti-evolution, mm-hmm. even though the Bible is creationist. Mm-hmm. So when I criticize things that are left out, like a genetic morality, some people, of course, there are always going to be those who get pieces, if I say evolution, but I can't, you know, I can't get around reality. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the church, the preacher, the Bible is going to have to overcome it. Christianity cannot exist if it's going to insist on anti-evolution and these things. I mean, it's in part, some people have to have anti-evolution, you know, for their faith. Well, that's tough, you know, because that's how Buchanan lost his vote. You know, he started coming out with this anti-evolution crap, and I always said he always ended up being just a harmless theocrat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they just decided we don't have people running for president who are, you know, on these kicks. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my point is that Christianity can overcome this. They'll have to make up a genetic morality based on doing to others as you have them doing to you. And it's going to be hideously complicated, it's going to be awful, it's going to give power, it's going to do all sorts of horrible things. But for somebody to say that leaving out, because the reason they left it out is because they didn't expect us to exist. The whole New Testament keeps talking about how at the time of Christ in the first century, they would have thrown out anybody who believed you and I would exist. Mm-hmm.
Because they believed that Christ was coming.
But I mean, that's what it says. Mm-hmm. And you have to. So when people scream at me about a genetic morality, and let's see how I got around. I was talking. Yeah, I talked about. Yeah, and this also goes with the other things. As I say, communism is silly. See, that's the one thing they can't afford to talk about. See, I can see that. Mm. They can't talk about why communism didn't work. They talk about, they don't even mention it. It just folded up one day. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was coming up, it was an act of God. And there's a really good science fiction novel there, The Modis. About the Modis, the people who know what I'm talking about will know it. Larry Purnell and Larry Niven. I mean, John Purnell invented Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And but this book still had the Soviet Union in it. Mm-hmm. 1,000 years from now, it was just assumed. And without a sound, it went under because it was silly.
But then why do you think that Christianity wouldn't be any different?
I'm not predicting a future for Christianity. I'm saying if Christianity is going to exist, it has to be able to exist with science. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are a lot of things that I'm a Bible buff. I read the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read almost all of it.
Yeah.
And you just cannot be a literalist unless you're willing to, you just have to contradict yourself. Mm-hmm. You believe in God. Well, what happened was they predicted that the world wasn't going to last 100 years. It wasn't going to last till tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And they had, but it still survived. Mm-hmm. With that is one of its basic doctrines. And so you have to deal with those things. Mm-hmm. Is there something of God here? If it is, it isn't science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a description of the world, mm-hmm. of how the world was created. It's not a, you know, that Jesus told his disciples that that was the one thing even he didn't know, when the world would end. He said, only the Father mm-hmm. knows that.
Yep.
Did you know that?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you were raised with it.
I was raised with it, yeah.
You had it driven into you with a chain.
Yeah, I did.
But, but I'm just saying that Christianity, I mean, C.S. Lewis doesn't need any of that. He doesn't, you know, he goes along with evolution. He says, you know, my faith is in God. Mm-hmm. And you just can't. The faith can't survive this way, mm-hmm. with trying to go back to the Bronze Age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I say this is just one more time that they cannot. That but most people, nobody except me, I don't think, has ever pointed out that the reason Christianity doesn't have a genetic morality is because it's based on the Advent. You know, in Adventism, quick, right. You know, the world's going to end.
Yeah, there's
and
no
so
future.
That's going to really cripple you up. I mean, if Jesus, and he said he didn't know the day, so if Jesus predicted it wrong, at least twice, he wouldn't have developed a genetic morality. There wasn't going to be any genetics.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that seems to be a glaring error to me, but nobody ever mentions it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I've said that about other things that I bring up
many times.
But that Adventism, and so if we are going to live in a world where you have children and new generations, you have to have a morality for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They could skip it back then, but we can't now.
Mm.
So. Do I not?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I understand. Right. Yep. Yep.
So I guess that was the biggest part in there. I don't want to read this whole thing. I hate reading my own writing. But when I said the simple silliness of the communist system, you see, mommy professor depends entirely on that stern-faced, you know, the same thing the preacher does, that stern-faced, you know, this is reality, and if it's wrong, it's because I'm a highly complicated person, you know, and but if you ever sit down with somebody and describe what these idiots accepted as a system, I mean, Marxism is so silly, but if you present it as unright, or not viable, or whatever terms they use, you're not going to destroy the people that are pushing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because all it boils down to, and to me it's hilarious, it's sort of like saying, would the Coca-Cola company lobby against the selling of soda drinks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Will the liquor companies you know, put out money for prohibition? No, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on campus, again, it's all reduced to one simple sentence. The philosophy that these people think they have boils down to professors should rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
What else would you expect them to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and once that is exposed, their whole damn thing is going to come down like a, you know. But as long as we have respectable conservatives who say they are mistaken in this, that, and the other, the Marxist system is insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I said, and I don't know if it's this article, but Marx assumed that distribution had nothing to do with production.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of assumed things would get produced. And he said, now, he didn't say part of this. He said, truth is a bourgeois concept. The only truth, the only facts must come up in the class struggle, meaning the distribution of income.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else in the world except this class struggle of his over the good that just sort of, as Lenin said, you know, Soviet leadership and
electricity.
We took, and then they tried to actually run it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had what they call the new economic plan, which is where most histories of Soviet economy began. A new economic plan put the market back in.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old economic plan.
Same thing.
Yeah, well, they couldn't do without the market.
Yeah.
They finally realized that a bunch of bureaucrats in Moscow weren't going to produce any wheat.
Yeah.
Now, they're that stupid, that childish.
Mm.
If you could put them in that image instead of all this conservative crap, you know, and laugh at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is, I mean, you talk about some of the, you know, fundamentalist Christians who gave you a hard time, but they are, even the most, you know, they are 2020 vision compared to a Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's insane to think things are going to just get produced.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
But who else is going to say that?
Mm. Yeah. Pointing it out, absolutely. Exposing, well, that's what you said, you know, with the Soviet Union, that it was exposed for the fraud that it was.
Yeah, it just didn't work, and I think they knew that it was coming down.
Mm.
And then when the, because all these reports, now that's when we had to fight the CIA. The CIA kept trying to make the Soviet Union look like their planning statistics, their growth statistics were true. That's a major part of my background is fighting that.
Yeah.
But When you actually go over there, my professor in Soviet economics, he would say, you go over there, and it's just incredible. People say that the Soviet economy is going to be 75% of the American or something like that. And those people were, you know, third world at best. White people.
Yeah.
So, and all I say is, you have, if you're going to unseat these people, you have to point and laugh.
Yes.
And they'll come down. That's what the Soviet Union came down.
Mm-hmm.
They had a standing joke I heard before the actual collapse.
Mm-hmm.
One of the jokes, all of them illegal, you know, but it said, Saudi Arabia has just, it went communist last month. They are reporting a shortage of sand.
Oh, that is good.
Now that's the level.
You got to get on.
Yeah. And I asked a professor, I took one course at Carolina, or one's most friend. I asked the professor, I said, you know, of course, that the universe, Solzhenitsyn point out that the only place on earth where Marxism was still taken seriously was the American universities. You know, and he said, yes, you know, that's true. But they didn't, as usual, it's like the sign company, they had no explanation. It was supposed to be a seminar, but they had no explanation for that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. We still, you know, believe
take it seriously,
that professors should rule the world.
Yeah.
See, if I put it that way, you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, and then you get all this solved. Then you tell people, and then they won't tell you about on Twitter this
Jews.
Yeah, this singer. It doesn't even get down to Jews.
No, well, it is something that we have noticed recently about. Exactly how you say, you get into a fight, you're owning something, and then someone comes in with some stupid point about, you know, it could be about anything, the Confederacy or, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Generally it's Jews, but how frustrating that is when you're owning the conversation.
That's the discipline.
Yeah.
You know, That's why you all have to fire in the same direction.
Yes.
And if the enemy, you know, the oldest strategy in the world is for an army, it is so old and it always works, or it seems to. When they get out in the field, they have a small force go forward and act like the whole force. And they'd charge the enemy, they would retreat. Then the enemy would follow them. And then they'd be flanked.
Yep.
The main army would be back there on two flanks.
Yep.
Yeah. The oldest strategy in the world, and still be used in policy. I mean, something that simple.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That is good.
All right. So, you know, these anti-gun people, I wanted to refer to them. You remind me of an article. The political buzzards.
Okay.
Because they're always saying there's going to be another disaster, and when there is, and they're sitting like buzzards waiting on disasters. And I think that would be a wonderful word.
Buzzards.
Which it's true.
Yeah.
I remember that one, they would say when anti-gun movement went under, the commentators, liberal cop, would say, well, there's going to be another disaster, another mass killing. And the conservatives, of course, would say, well, we're still, you know, something. But what I would say, what kind of buzzard are you?
Yeah.
See, the word would stick.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are.
Uh-huh.
You know, a bunch of buzzards flying around waiting on a disaster.
Yeah.
So, but these terms work.
Yes. So. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But like I say, for my own books, people, I need an article that shows what we can, because you cannot, these are very hard things to nail down. You know, the difference between refresh with Coca-Cola or Coca-Cola hits the spot is a little hard to assess statistically, although they keep a watch in advertising companies. They used to do it with computers, meaning people who sat there and computed. Now they do it much easier, but even all the way back to those Time magazine ads, they would find out where the increase, a tiny increase, and then they'd have several, a number of increases to see, and they would have to correlate those, you know, where Time magazine hit, you know. And I mean, you could imagine trying to gel this kind of crap.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, that's a professional.
It's way more than professional.
Well, that position, you know, someone actually doing statistics of marketing, marketing meets,
so
you know, what's
when you,
effective.
When you say you can't measure it, I know that.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
We need to show people that it's working.
Yeah.
Because that's what my whole thing is based on. It. I keep explaining. You can imagine trying to explain this approach to a bunch of people who raise money, to with what are actually small organizations that are raising money, and they can tell how their letters raise money statistically, but they can't tell how propaganda works.
We did this exactly just based off of your advice of try it, see if it works. Trying to do something different, trying to get that, you know, if there's a
get attention.
Momentum or movement, enthusiasm,
doing an excellent
something.
Job. It's just was trying to tell you that. See, now this is the problem I have. I get these things about these things are being done and so forth, but where it was succeeding, and we need to tell the Bugs people about this.
Yeah.
And I got to go back there and watch The Sopranos.
Oh, I meant to ask you that. How is it going?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I buy a whole series and watch the whole thing. I'll watch them a dozen times.
Good.
I'm enjoying this. One thing that hit me about them is it's all gutter language. But I got over that. Well, let's see. I was out in the field with Merck, I was raised in Pontiac, but actually the language was was definitely clean out there. Mm-hmm. You know, even the people who pull knives on each other wouldn't use the kind of language they use now.
Yeah.
Then I worked in retarded homes. I worked in prisons.
Yeah.
I worked in recovery.
Yep.
I knew every emergency room. I told you one time, I came in with another person for detox. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And I walked up to the nurse there. Told her how it was hilarious. She looked up at me coming in, and she said, "I know, you're Bob Whitaker. You're with Narcotics Anonymous."
Before you've even said it, yeah.
And you know, you have a hell of a have a hell of a situation.
Reputation. You've got the reputation.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that so many times that she just, you know, she said it before I did.
Yeah.
I'm Bob Whitaker. So what I'm saying is, I've heard a little foul language in my life.
Yes, I can imagine.
But what has hit me lately is listen to these old rap. The old rap is just gone. I mean, it lasted for, but that I was listening on The Sopranos. They still had the old rap where they just, you know,
scream,
and they don't have any music or anything. Just a nigga yelling. But it hit me that another thing, a sub basic was, they don't have any adjectives. I mean, they have winter has more adjectives.
Yeah.
They have F. Now, the Sopranos have a lot of S words, mm-hmm. but the Blacks, a whole rap goes by with one adjective.
Yeah.
You know, it's like their kindergarten, their IQ is kindergarten level, but they don't have but one adjective.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have bad or good or anything. Mm-hmm. It's always be tough. Fucking this, fucking that. But after a while, I began to notice, you know, most people would be a connoisseur of dirty language, you know, but after you've taken your 200th person, drunk, you've heard about every word, you know, you heard that a lot.
Yeah.
And it hits me, they're kindergarten, their IQs are down around, a bird has a 3-year-old IQ.
Yeah.
And that is about... And the rap has nothing else. They use nigga. They say fucking. and that's it.
Yeah.
You
know.
And the cops.
Yes.
You know. But I mean, that wouldn't occur to anybody else because they're too tied up with that language. Mm. And I didn't even hear it on The Sopranos.
And what's the gutter language on Sopranos? The same.
Well, they have the S word, the F word, and anything else.
Everything bad.
They don't come up with much.
No.
You know, it gets me that they are, you know, and they're not supposed to be the Harvard faculty, as somebody said. I mean, that's the charm
Underworld.
Thing. I'm going to write an article, and I won't put an observation. Maybe somebody will actually read it about the point is, it'd be called Belly Up.
Belly
Up.
Yep.
Now, our society is belly up, mm-hmm. but the one thing you have there is a bunch of working class people mm-hmm. that aren't belly up. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to go through anything. You know, they go direct with a baseball bat or something.
Okay, yeah.
Americans before were a threat to their government. If the government, in fact, you know, one of the most controversial. Quotes, this is from Thomas Jefferson, that the tree of liberty needs to be manured every 15 or 20 years with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Mm.
There has to be a new revolution regularly. In other words, the people can't be belly up.
Mm.
They can't obey authority. You know, until the World War II generation, that was not the ideal, was Americans obey authority, the law.
Yeah.
Rule by law? Nope. Rule by us.
Mm-hmm.
But I was noticing, that's when I noticed that I think the appeal of the Sopranos is that they do their own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the authorities where the authorities have everybody else.
Yep.
So I'll give them to you afterwards, or you can take them. You know, you might watch a couple, but the basic point is the average American is sitting there thinking, my God, you know, these people are free.
Yeah.
And the law doesn't step on them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the appeal.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm still not a natural belly up. And there's something about that concept that I think. I wanted to start with the doggy language, you know, being raised, you know, all of the dogs. I remember this little puppy was at our recovery place, and somebody had him with him, and this big dog came up, and he didn't get to see big dogs much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's another dog, and a big one, you know? And he would, about, I guess, 20 times, he would put his nose to the other dog's nose, and then he would go back on his back and stick his feet in the air. You know, you're the big one. You know, you're the and I'm so happy to see you. You know? And that's fine for a dog,
yeah,
but not for an American. a small dog, a puppy, that's all right.
Yeah,
you know, but the American public started with World War II is that way.
Yeah.
But we are honored to stick our tummies in the air. You know, anything you want, it's the laws, not men. Actually, they keep saying that. Every time somebody says that, you know what I say immediately, that nobody else would say. I said, you know, they say it's government laws, not men. And I said, as a matter of fact, it's a government of we, the people, not the lawyers. Sub basics again. The Constitution, the Constitution now is 5 members of the U.S. Supreme Court. And they're, you know, how their tummy feels today. But, in fact, I would love to make the president, when he may, to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, it should be changed to preserve, protect, and defend the latest opinion of a majority of the Supreme Court. Let's say it. But this kind of thing leaves them, that's why people don't call me. They just are left flat-footed when I hit them with things like that. I mean, lawyers don't know what to do when I hit them with, you know.
It is something that even online recently that in the Constitution, our posterity.
Yeah, our
posterity.
Not
right?
Posterity. It's our posterity.
Right, and that is something that has
ourselves
been hitting.
Ourselves and our posterity, right. Not the immigrants.
And that
because
is
America was not that heavily, you know. By then, it was almost everybody in America had been was the population, natural population growth. About doubling every 25 years. And so it was not immigration. They were in fact, I forget his name, but some Swiss guy who was in the government, he had an awful time because he was a foreigner under Jefferson.
Okay.
Yeah, because they just didn't have foreigners. You know, they were all Americans. And they put in the Constitution. And I don't think any other country on earth has that, that you have to be born in the country to be president.
Well, it is, as you say, it's one of those things that you can point out, that simple thing, as you point out, that it's that the lawyers were, it is not the five, it is we the people that you know, meant to do. The same as the Constitution actually does state it's for our posterity. So
that's called, call the purpose, it's the only purpose America has ever written down and agreed on. The Declaration of Independence was a declaration to be read by European. You know, it was a declaration to the rest of the world.
Yes.
But describing ourselves, the Constitution is the only thing we ever took, we ever adopted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what Lincoln did at Gettysburg, he said, we're replacing that mm-hmm. with all men are created equal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guarantee you, nobody would have raised more hell about that than mm-hmm. Jefferson,
yeah.
the guy who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.